The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here after week number 11 of Survivor Winners at War. And Stephen Fishback, I believe that we saw the finest hour of Survivor Winners at War to date.
Definitely, I think, the best episode of the season, the most strategically packed episode of the season.
How hyperbolic you want to go? Best of the season.
Best
done.
Of the season. Yeah, that's easy. We're not going to say best of all, but no, what I will say.
Yeah.
Is maybe the best single, certainly one of the best single episode performances by a person, possibly of all time.
I agree. And this might be best Survivor episode in 5 years. This was truly incredible. I was dazzled. Everything that we didn't get last week, we got tonight. I felt like that I knew where everybody's head was at. I feel like that we knew everything that was going on, and a masterful performance all the way around, culminating in a 4-3-2 vote to take out our good friend Sophie Clark from the game with an idol in her pocket. So much to break down.
Gone too soon.
This was the return of Tony Vlachos tonight.
What an episode. My God. What a great, I mean, truly, 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 what a like all-time single episode performance.
Incredible. Incredible. Can't wait to break it all down. It's going to be a real treat tonight to get into with you, Stephen. Of course, a lot to do tomorrow. Rick Devins will be my guest on the recap show. And then Aris Bushkauskas will be my guest on Friday to answer a lot of your feedback from this episode. But Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm fine, man. I'm just, you know, happy to be chatting with you. Happy we had a really fun episode of Survivor. Last week, I didn't love it so much, as I think I made abundantly clear.
Yeah.
And I hate saying negative things about the show. You know, I don't want to be a standard bearer of negativity because I love the show. It's so much fun to watch. And so, you know, an episode like tonight, which is just like fun, it's like great. Like, you know, you do get a real sense of people's strategies, and there's like a lot for us to talk about and break down. Like, this is what really enthuses me about this show. And so I'm relieved. Yeah. I didn't want to be one of those people who every week is like, oh, this sucks. Yeah, this still sucks.
Yeah. It was a fantastic episode. The whole thing was amazing. Even the what came in from the Edge of Extinction, I thought was very, very fun. No reward challenge in this episode, which I think helped. I think we'll find out eventually whether there was a reward challenge that got cut.
It probably was, right?
You know, look, if you want to do the Edge of Extinction, do it. But don't do a reward challenge on the Edge of Extinction. Not enough time for all of that in the episode. But I thought that the extortion idol or the extortion advantage really played out beautifully. It was such a wonderful thing to see. And then this last second plan, which Tony pulls off. And Steven, there are echoes back to Survivor Kagiyan. Now, I'm not sure if it was at Final 9 or if at Final 7 that Tony called you out for having feces covering your spectacles. I don't recall. But this was classic Tony tonight of, hey,
why do you got to bring that up? You know,
I'm calling back to Tony at 9, at 7, at 5. What does he do? Votes out one of his allies because that he wants to be closer with his core group. So he reaches across the aisle and votes with people that he was working against and then gets them all jazzed up of like, oh, now I'm working with Tony. And what does he do next time? Flips back to his allies. And I wonder, are we on that same trajectory?
Well, and what's great about it, and what I'm really excited to talk to you about with this, is that Tony didn't necessarily even flip, which was I think the real genius of this move, is that he didn't like go between alliances. He built his own third alliance, which I think is where, you know, so much of what was great about this maneuver comes into play. But, you know, it's one of these things where It's a move like where almost anyone else tries to pull it off because they're trying to play like Tony. They're, you know, you always say, don't do it. It's going to catch up with you. It's going to blow up in your face. Tony is always the exception to the rule. He's the only guy who can get away with this thing, this kind of move. And I'm just, you know, excited to see how if he can.
Is Tony flying too close to the sun right now, Steven, that really everything he's like, he's walking through the casino. Every slot machine he pulls is a jackpot. He sits down, he's throwing craps. I mean, can he do anything wrong right now? And is this bound to catch up with him?
I mean, it's again, like Tony is always the exception. I think for any other player to peak at this moment in the season, they'd be like that person. You'd be like, oh, they're gone next. Like no one is going to let Tony coast to the end. But Tony is always the exception. He's always able to rebound. And I mean, you know, there's so many like specific small things he did this episode that are we just going to start talking about it? Like,
I think we're sort of like in the overview. I think we're sort of establishing shot of the night. And then if you have a specific thing you want to talk about, let's jump in.
I have so many things.
Okay.
Where do we begin? Tell me where we begin.
Well, then don't interrupt me to ask me where we are, where we're going. If you don't have a place that you want to go.
I just want to know where the car is headed. You know, I want to know how long it's going to be till the car gets to the places of interest, you know, to me.
Yeah. So with everything that Tony has going his way right now, do you feel like that is he bound to run the car into a ditch? Or, I mean, this is still the final eight. How could he keep this momentum going?
Well, again, like I just think that Tony is the exception. And I do think that, you know, what's brilliant about Tony is that he is able to make himself everyone's intimate. Right. And that's why it made sense to get rid of Sophie, because she and he obviously were not as close and he wanted Sarah to be his close ally. And if Sarah has other options, then she's going to, you know, might go with her other options. Mm-hmm. But if Sarah has no other options, then, you know, she's got to stick with him. And I do think the officer Sarah relationship is going to be key to his strategy. And it's like we saw with Trish and Cagayan, where like Tony would do all these chaotic things. He would blow everything up, but he needed someone who had these really strong social bonds to kind of cool everything down. And I do think that is a role that we might see officer Sarah play next week.
Do you think that she can forgive him for this? Or does she have a choice?
That's the thing. By eliminating Sophie, like he really cuts off. And that's what's so great about this is like he kind of forces Sarah to be tighter with him.
This was like LJ. This was the same exact thing where Trish was tight with LJ and he didn't like it. So he grabbed his weasel woo and said, OK, we're going over here and we're going to vote with Spencer and another Jeremy and then go and come up with this plan to take out LJ. And that's what he did at the final nine. I got to go back and review Cagayan to be able to better process everything that's going on here in this season. TEOS chapter 28. I'm re-listening this weekend, Steven.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on top
Me
of it.
Too.
Yeah. Do you know what that is? It's fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, of course I know. The evolution of strategy.
Yes. Thank you. Anyway, so with everything that went on here with Tony, I just want to just take a step back because there were so many questions that we had about last week's tribal council. And I do think that the way that last week's tribal council ended influenced a lot of things because that group didn't get the chance to vote out Jeremy. Then Jeremy, by leaving that tribal council, was sort of left in the dark in terms of how that was going to all play out. And Tony had the room to maneuver there to say, no, I wasn't going to vote you out. I wasn't going to vote for you. Where had he stayed and gotten voted out, he would know for sure Tony was not working with him. But what gall, what audacity for Tony to then go back and then tell Jeremy that he was not the target and Jeremy was trying or Tony was trying to vote out Sophie the whole time.
Oh, well, the craziest thing for me was that everyone was so angry at Jeremy for like having successfully evaded the vote. I mean, I want to like hit this point, like Jeremy, you know, Jeremy's like waiting for everyone. They all come back and the people who were mad at him were not his allies. It wasn't like Kim was mad at him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Denise was mad at him. Like Sarah was mad at him. Tony was mad at him. Like Ben was super mad at him.
Yeah.
Like the people who, you know, like a little respect, please. You know, like you can't be mad at the guy for successfully avoiding getting voted out by you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did you leave before we were able to blindside you?
It's
not
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. I would think, you know, you're like, great play, man. You evaded the vote. Like, I felt like at least, you know, like at least in Cambodia, like, you know, you'd respect the game. You'd like see someone do something great and you'd be like, man, we're all fans of the game here. Like, that was awesome. Like, great job. But for this, why they're like mad at him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like they were trying to like serve him divorce papers and he's dodging them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, can you show up here at this time so we can serve you these papers to go to the Edge of Extinction? No way. I'm not going to be there. But anyway, so Tony is able to somehow convince Jeremy. No, I was with you the whole time. I was never working with those guys. I don't even like Sarah.
The crazy thing to me was that Jeremy believed him. And I think that
it was very convincing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to like figure out what it was. Like, for the one thing, maybe Jeremy feels like he's really stuck with Tony. He's like, you know, maybe he feels like a bond with Tony, right? They're, you know, just they're similar demographics, right? They're like, you know, they've got the cop fireman thing, you know, they're similar, both bald, right? That's a bond between people.
Pot is boiling over on Twitter every day, Jeremy versus Tony.
Well, that's, you know, it's banter. And you know, maybe he also just was, felt like that this was Tony's best play was to stick with him, which it sort of is, right? Like, Tony wants his meat shields around just like Jeremy wants his meat shields around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a rationality element where if you're Jeremy, you're thinking like, why wouldn't Tony want me in this game? In the same way that Jeremy doesn't understand why they would want to vote out Tyson. You know, for him, he's playing a very logical, rational game. Why would you vote out the people who are protecting you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Kim and Denise, they like, Tony's not with us. No. They were there. They were at that tribal council. And maybe that's the difference where right. Kim and Denise sat there and they know Tony Sophie says, no, hey, why don't the five of us just go over here? They know Tony's in the five I think Kim even said Tony told her to vote for Sophie at the tribal council. He's one of the Tyson votes. We were very confused also about where was Michelle in all of this, who voted for Tyson last week. We tried to figure out, was she a spy? Was she a double agent? Turns out that the answer is none of the above. She seemed like she was still with that side. I don't know why she cast a vote against Tyson, unless it was just
maybe it was just like felt she bullied into it, and you know, it looked pretty clear that the vote was going to go one way, and mm-hmm. right. Well, I mean, did her vote affect things? I don't think so, right?
It didn't. Because, it was a fifth vote for Tyson. We never found out who told her to vote for Tyson. How did she know to vote for Tyson? But that will have to remain for a mystery for another day. I think there was a lot of speculation in the Survivor community about, did Michelle play those guys? Was Michelle really with them? Because it seems like that Michelle and Nick are not on the same page anymore, and I don't know how that happened.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people grow apart.
Yeah. Although they are both part of separately, seemingly, they are both that Nick is approached by Tony and then Michelle is approached by Jeremy. And so who knows? That's something to untangle for another day.
I think that would be a fun thing to untangle today.
If we can. But are they like, hey, my friend Tony told me that your friend Jeremy says that we're all going to vote together.
I mean, I do want to sort of like at some point, again, I don't know where the car's going right now. At some point, I want to talk about just that the logistics of that kind of move that Tony made. And like, does it make sense for each of these people? Because like one of the things that really stuck with me, that really like shook me in this move was Tony coming to Jeremy, you know, seconds before they go to tribal council, like brilliant on his part, right? Not giving Jeremy the chance to scramble or double check or like, you know, get something else going. But if someone comes to you like right before tribal council, it's like everything you know is wrong. You have to like vote someone else out that you didn't think was going. You know, this plan you've had in place for days is now no longer relevant. Like, just the leap of faith to trust that one person is enormous.
Yeah.
And like for Jeremy to agree to that is, you know, without double checking with Kim, who's probably been, you know, certainly as good an ally to him as Tony has.
And Denise.
And Denise for sure, who played an idol for him. But like without even double checking with those guys to be like, hey, like, are you voting for me? Like the people who he's kind of been with, you know, is crazy. It's wild. And like, it's just so much you know, so much goes into that. I honestly, like, one of the big questions for me is like, if I got approached in that situation, would I do that? I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it's right before tribal. You think like, maybe this is my last shot. Like, there's so much like of a leap of faith that goes into that.
I just wonder, has there ever been a time in tribal, in the history of the show? And I'm sure it has been, and maybe just didn't make the show, where somebody comes to you last second, Steven, and is like, hey, let me just say, there's a bunch of stuff that you don't know. Here's what's happening, that you have to vote for this person tonight, and it's a fake. Like, is that even a move that anybody has ever attempted?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's happened to me. And like, you know,
can you talk that through? Who did that to you?
It was almost, I think it was the night I was voted out. It was like,
and they told you the fake plan.
Yeah, which was, I think, Sierra came over. I mean, it was the night that Sierra was voted out, but they came over to me and told me that Spencer was it was going to be Spencer. And it was like right as I came back from this confessional, and I, you know, started running around the beach. Well, you know, your instinct is to like, oh no, like, that's not how I want things to go. I've got to fix this. Mm-hmm. And so if it truly is right before tribal council, there's really nothing you can do. And then there is the element of like, if it is me, you know, because what's crazy about this is it was not like someone comes and tells you what the plan is, right? It's like someone comes and tells you you're getting voted out unless you follow my plan, which is the only way to save you, so long as you tell nobody except mm-hmm. Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I do think that it has to like make sense for Jeremy, where I think that he's like, you know what, that makes sense. You know, Kim and Denise have been acting weird, of like, those people have been acting strange towards me. Yeah, they were going to vote me out at that tribal council. You know, that I feel like that something that we've talked about for many years is like, by revealing to a person, you can really win them over. And I wonder, maybe did Tony get into like, hey, Jeremy, we were going to vote you out last time. Like, we had 5 votes for you last time. Like, wake up, smell the coffee. That this is that, and you're going to get voted out this time. You're the biggest threat. They don't like you. Trust me. I think that had to have been part of it.
Yeah. And if someone is telling you to vote a certain way, you think in order to save yourself, you think like, you know, they're not going to tell me to vote a certain way if I'm going to be voted out. Right. Like, this, there's not going to be some like crazy last minute plan that's going to end up screwing me over if I throw a vote Sophie's way. And especially, he's not even aligned with Sophie. So it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be a tougher one if it was, you know, Tony said like, you got to vote for Kim tonight. You know, that might be like a more difficult sell.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, moving the target off of don't vote for Ben, vote for Sophie. Like, I feel like it makes even though Ben had been getting on Jeremy's nerves, that there's still two people on that same side. You know, it was like that, you know, you have to trust me that this is the person I want to target, and we'll vote out this person. Do you like the move? Going back to the know-it-alls we did after LJ got voted out, we wondered, why would Tony get rid of LJ? He's on his side. He's one of his people. Why did he do this? Why does he vote with Spencer and the other Jeremy in that point? That's really Jeremiah, I know, but Tony said, who's Jeremy? But do we like this move for Tony? Was that the right play to get rid of Sophie, who he's working with?
But he's not really working with Sophie. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Sarah is working with Sophie, and like, maybe Sophie is part of this group. LJ and Tony seem to have more of a relationship, right, than Sophie. We haven't seen, I don't think we've ever seen, I'm not even sure. I mean, I'm sure at some point in time, like, Sophie and Tony have been on screen together, but yeah. I don't think we've ever
at the merger and the Wendell vote they had, it seemed like that Sophie was giving information to Tony. And then Sophie says to Tony at one point about how we have to get rid of Wendell because he's best friends with Jeremy. And Tony's like, oh, he is? I didn't even notice that. She's like, yeah, right. they hang out all the time. He's like, oh, you know, I don't even see stuff like that.
But it's like, that seems to me more like, you know, Sophie was more like, it was more a question of isolating Sarah than it was, right, eliminating. I mean, it wasn't like Sophie qua Sophie. It was more like Sophie as Sarah's ally. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that it was someone who, you know, is strategically threatening and who happened to have an idol in her pocket is just gravy. And right, like, maybe had influence that he didn't have access to, right? Like, he couldn't, you know, she had her people, and, you know, she had a relationship with Kim, right? Which could be dangerous in terms of like the potential to flip. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a great move. Like, here's the problem, right? Is it too fast? Are people going to be pissed? the first thing I want to say, which we sort of alluded to before, which makes it particularly great, is that Tony didn't just flip from one alliance to another, right? He didn't go from his group of five.
He built a third
other
tribe.
Group of five. Yeah, because if he just was on the other, he wouldn't get credit for the move if he was just like, okay, I'm now with that group. He would just look like a weaselly flip-flopper. But instead, he built this third group. So that's all completely his group. Like, it's his move, his called shot. The interesting thing, too, about it being people from both groups is it's harder to be pissed at him because then you've also got to be pissed at Nick. You know, like no group can fully risk alienating this new group, you know, because if Tony is in it with Nick, then like that other group, right, which is now just Sarah and Ben, like they can't like fully fracture from Tony and Nick. And the same too, you know, Kim and Denise can't fully fracture from Jeremy and Michelle. So what was great about like doing it sort of that third group is neither of the other groups has the leverage to go against them. And like, they have the same numbers. Like that's now half of the full tribe. The thing that is more interesting to me is like why Nick goes along with it. Like, because that is a worse play for him than it is for Tony.
So Nick's position in the first plan, which is if Nick could go back and I guess Tony was immune this round. I was going to say that, if Nick could get Tony voted out over this, that maybe he has that in his back pocket, that he seemed like that he'd be in a better spot. So he would be, he's either third or fourth. I think Tony wants to take Nick to the end. I think that Tony looks at Nick. This is my perfect person to sit next to at the end of the game, and then fills the other spot with maybe Michelle. I think that's how Tony is looking at that. That's his ideal final three.
What is it? I mean, so what's Nick's? I have some ideas, but what do you think? Like, what's the win for Nick? Because obviously, there's a huge risk in like pissing off his alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Nick, I mean, I just don't like, it seems like that it gets him closer to the end. I mean, I feel like that he could probably, you know, just be sort of like, fifth behind. I mean, he's got to be the low person on the totem pole behind Sarah, Sophie, Ben, Tony. He's five at the very least. Here, at least he's three or four.
Right. And I think
maybe two in sort of like the woo. To Tony, you know, and maybe he feels like, hey, I won't be woo. I won't take Tony to the end. I'll go all the way with Tony, and then I'll take the people that Tony brought to the end to the end.
Yeah, I mean, I loved that Nick went with it. I mean, because it just made it fun, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a fun thing that happened where Nick went and like suddenly all this whole tribe dynamic kind of got flipped on its head. You know, there's the big risk is, of course, he risks alienated his allies, and he doesn't even get credit for the move. Suddenly he's, you know, it is that sort of unfortunate woo position, which some of us have been in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to be that guy necessarily, but I agree with you. There's a lot of game to play. You know, maybe he thinks Tony is going to blow up, you know. Nick was always, you know, now this is like an alliance of Nick. You know, he kind of, it seemed like, at least from what we've seen, that he sort of fell into that five just by default. You know, no one really wanted to play the game with him. He was a big target. Now he's being pulled into a secret alliance.
Sarah gave him Chinese food. That was all it took.
That's true. That's true.
Got him in there.
Yeah. So, and you know, now he's voting with Michelle again. So the duo is reunited.
Yeah. And that's good. And I wonder, you know, just how much Tony might know about that, just how close that they are and whether that could be a disadvantage, whether that they are plotting against him down the road. But this was really interesting. And the concern for me about this move for Tony, and I love the move. It was spectacular to watch. Does Sarah, How does she sit with this after the fact?
We've seen it in the preview. She's mad.
She's mad. She's mad. But does she get over it? Where people like Trish were mad. They got over it. Is Sarah the type of person that can get over being screwed over by Tony, where they have all this history where it's like, okay, Tony screwed me over in Cagayan. I forgave him. I opened myself back up to him and he screwed me again. Is Sarah the type of person that says, okay, I'll fix it, or you don't get to do that to me twice?
I wonder, but the thing is, Sarah doesn't really have any options, right? Like, so Sarah's got a relationship with Ben, we know, but it's not like Sarah's going to go to the Jeremy Kim alliance and be like, hey guys, you know, what about me? You know,
I think she has options. Like, what about this? What if she goes to Denise and Kim and says, okay, like, hey, like, look, I've had it with Tony. I'm a free agent. You know, could we get Michelle on board? I mean, that's four at least. So, you never know. I feel like that there's other ways that she and Ben could go with them. Like I've had it with Tony also. Have you had it with Tony? Okay. I mean, I think that's the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I wonder, I will bet that their years of history together will outweigh that. I mean, she will be pissed at him. It's like, it was like Amanda, you know, was so furious at Parvati when she made this other alliance without even telling her in Micronesia. And, you know, but, you know, ultimately you go with the person that you've been working with, that you're familiar with, that you trust.
See, I don't think that that's Sarah. I think that Sarah really feels like, okay, it took years for them to sort of like patch up their differences in between Kagyan and Game Changers. And they got back to a place where they were good. And there's like this little tension that's between them. We saw it with the fashion show, which also, I thought the fashion show was great. I don't want to get bogged down into that right now, but I thought that that was super fun.
And what were those sounds that Ben was making?
I don't know. I got to watch it again. Yeah, it's good. It was great. Ben makes Muppet noises. That was super fun in this episode. Everything was great. But I don't think that Sarah is the type of person that's going to forgive. Like, she is not a forgive and forget kind of person. She might say, like, maybe in a Natalie Anderson sort of way, all right, Tony, like, it's cool. Almost like Nick Wilson did in David versus Goliath with Christian, you know, hey, it's good. And then I'm going to be working to like, take you out.
I think there's a difference with David and Goliath with Christian, right? Where they knew each other on that season. I think there's something else that happens when you leave and then you have your back, you come back where you leave, you meet each other's families, you have that personal bond. I think it's a different level of relationship where you know each other outside the game, you know, for years now. You've been on multiple seasons together. I think she will be angry, but I think the personal bond will ultimately, I don't think this is going to be like, I'm going to get you for this, Tony. Okay. I think this is going to be like, I'm furious, don't do it again, but you're still my brother.
How about this? Will Sarah and Tony vote together again this season?
Oh, yeah.
I say no.
I'm assuming Tony will vote with everybody else and with everyone at some point. Like, you know,
I don't think they get back on the same page.
Wow. That's funny. That's not at all how I would read it, but it's so interesting that you see it that way. I love that.
I just think that we see it
so differently.
As somebody who was born of Survivor Kagyan, she's seen Tony do this before, and she has to know that if I forgive Tony, he will burn me again. How did this end for Trish? All right, Tony. All right, I'll look past it this time. All right, you better not screw us again. Oh, you screwed us again. All right, Tony, seriously. All right, it's going to be her next time. It's going to be her the time after that.
She says, like, listen, you got yours. Now it's my turn. And like, it's, you know, who's Tony, you know, who's the, like, maybe it's, like, who's Jeremy next week? You know, like, you got, you know, you took out Sophie, but like, you owe me this next vote. That's 100% mine. Yeah. And like,
they might get back together for one. And then I think then he does it to her. Either he does it to her again, or she gets the jump on him. I think that I could see it coming back together for one vote, but I have to say, Sarah has seen this movie before.
Yeah. But it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's so exciting. It's really fun.
Do you think, how much of this was Tony being bored? Like, realistically, I mean, he wants to like make plans just to make plans. And he's like, you guys are all like comfortable. You know, you've got your little five group. You've got your set target. You've got your, you know, your fashion show. Like, I want to play this game. Yeah. Like, let's mix things up. No. I got the immunity necklace. Tony, like, let's have fun.
I really think that Tony was like have you ever been like on a diet where it's like, oh, I'm eating nothing but bland food. I'm eating so healthy. And it's like, here, just have one piece of cake. Just have one piece of cake. And this was like Tony he won immunity. I was like, oh my God. And then boom, he's off looking for idols. He gets the extortion advantage. He's winning immunities. He's giving out fire. He's like, I'm back, baby.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. How
he's ordering pizzas being... at 3 a.m. now, you know?
Yeah. But I think that's what I'm saying. It's like, how much of this big move is him just being like, pent up, fun. Say, oh, I'm crazy.
You feel like that. He's like going to be like, people like post quarantine, just like, running around. Yeah. Being crazy because they've been cooped up.
Yeah, exactly. He's been cooped up. He's had to watch all these dumb fashion shows. You know, now it's his turn to play.
I don't know. I don't know how much that I feel like that it was that he got a taste of it with everything that went on with winning immunity last time and the loved ones visit. And he's just like on such a high that I feel like he's just going to keep it going as opposed to that he was holding back for so long. Like this was all like pent up energy from the first part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think we're literally saying the exact same thing, but you're positioning it as us disagreeing.
I feel like that you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're saying that it's because that he had, you know, 27 days of being being pent up, and I'm saying that he just like it's been like sort of like one thing has been leading to another of like he had that first thing go his way, and then he had another thing go his way, and now he's just roll he can't stop himself.
He's on a roll, but I guess the distinction I was trying to make is like. Versus like a move born of like pure strategic necessity versus a move born because like he wanted to make a big fun move. Like, mm-hmm. like where do you think it sort of this falls on kind of like that spectrum?
Yeah. I think that he's just sort of like, if you ever had like a bunch of things go right, it's like, hey, I just had a great phone call. This phone call went great. You know what? I'm calling this person today because I'm hot. And it's like you're doing things that you wouldn't necessarily do because you feel like you just can't go wrong.
Yeah.
So I've had this happen to me, I think, exactly one time, I think, in my life.
What was the phone call?
I don't know. I'm trying to say it's a rare feeling. It's a rare feeling when everything is going right. Yeah.
How fun was this extortion?
So great. It was so great.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay. And the best part of it was when, Natalie and Parvati track it down and they get this, you know, extortion advantage and they're going to play it. And then Tony shot out of a cannon running through the wood, like slides. Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe I got the extortion advantage. Oh, this is great. Oh, extortion. I'm going to be like the guy in the movie. And then he reads the whole thing down. He's like, this is being played against you. What?
Like, and what's great is like in his confessional, right, which is after the fact, he's had this experience. He is able to relive all the hype and enthusiasm. Like, this is what makes Tony such a great TV player. It's not like I got this extortion advantage. Like, he's in the moment when he's recounting it of just like the chaos and madness and euphoria.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Even before then, when Natalie and Parvati are talking about who would be so crazy that he would do anything at all
for his advantage,
and then like fades or like cuts to Tony on the beach.
I thought that was so wild that they would. You know, that they picked Tony and six fire tokens, Parvati and Natalie. Wow, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. That was a lot of fire by. Don't mess with Parvati with fire tokens. Between four fire tokens from Michelle, that Parvati, if she's ever trying to blackmail you, good luck.
Yeah. But big demands. You know, what was so great was then Tony, who only has three tokens, has got to find the tokens from multiple alliances and they give them to him. They're like, yeah, okay, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it that he got one from Jeremy. He got one from, what was it, from Ben and from Nick?
Uh-huh.
So Parvati and Natalie really cleaned the guys out. It was a great night for the women as far as fire tokens go.
What do you think the motivation is for for Jeremy, for Ben, for Nick? Do you like if that's you on the beach and Tony comes to you and is like, hey, I need one of your fire tokens in order for me to be able to compete in immunity against you and cast a vote potentially against you tonight?
Yeah. Well, you understand it more from Jeremy. I think Jeremy is like, hey, all right, Tony's working with me. He's allegedly a double agent for the other. Let me keep stay in his good graces here. Here's a fire token. Let me see if I can buy his loyalty for this round that he needs a fight. He needs something from me. Here's a fire token. The Ben and Nick one is a lot harder to understand.
I think it's the same thing. It's like, right. It's like, this guy is coming to me. I want him to be my ally. I basically need him to be my ally at this point. You know, the fire tokens are kind of not that useful to them. Right. Mm-hmm. So like if you are using the fire, cause they're not buying a tarp, they don't seem to be able to buy idols. And so for them to be able to do it as a sign of good graces to an ally of theirs, I think is useful.
The other thing is that it's nine people. So if it's like, I can't vote tonight. Oh, if I get extorted. And that's like, no, it's going to be a 4-4 because that there's four on that side and we're four. So, right. It's going to be, you know, help me avoid the tie.
Stakes are very high.
So I guess it does. It did make sense. Tony was just so perfectly positioned here at the final nine that, I mean, it's really, it warms my heart to see somebody so perfectly positioned right in the middle in the odd number. And then he really maximized what he was able to do tonight here at final nine.
I mean, it's great. Like, it's so rare. I mean, sometimes it does happen. I remember if I felt like with the legacy advantage with Officer Sarah, it was like the perfect use of that advantage. Like that played itself out perfectly in 34. But, you know, for this to play out just so perfectly where the advantage goes to the guy who's going back and forth between alliances. So he has to get tokens from both sides. Like, that's perfect by itself. Then he wins immunity, which is perfect by itself. And then he like upends the whole tribe like dynamic through his vote. It's crazy. It's a 4-3-2 vote because of the split vote on the other side. P.S. This is why, like, whenever anyone asks, like, why didn't you guys split the vote? This is why it opens the door to a Tony.
How many confessionals do you think Tony had tonight?
At least seven.
Seven? I think he had at least 17.
It didn't seem it was all Tony.
I mean, that every segment was about Tony. It was about he wakes up in the morning. He finds he's going to find the idol. He's telling us what he's going to double cross Nick. Hey, I told Nick to go double check by the well. Then he's talking about being a double agent and Jeremy, and he's talking about everything with the extortion advantage, and then everything with this plan that he comes up with in the episode. This entire hour was Tony.
Yeah. And kudos to both him and Nick for being the ones to put in the work and getting up early and looking for the idol. Like, I don't know why everyone isn't up there. Right? The
chat is saying 18 confessionals for Tony tonight.
18?
I mean, there are, I can't tell you how many survivors that like make it through the season without 18 confessionals.
I think this is almost as many as Tony has had in the season up to this point. I think he's had like 25 or something. I've got it written down. Colin Stone, the great Colin Stone, texted to me 23 up until this point.
Now he's almost, is that the all-time record for an episode? That's what I'd like to know.
The only competition is going to be like Russell Hanson in Samoa or Cochran in Karamoan. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two people who might even come close. Mm-hmm. But wow.
Yeah. Wow. So really, really amazing. Just incredible. Steven, did you think it was interesting that after the previous tribal council that was so chaotic, that this was a tribal council where everybody commented at how quiet it was leading up to the tribal?
Yeah. Well, it made sense, right? They had a guy who they wanted to vote out. They failed to vote him out. And then did I just go blurry?
You did, but it's fine. Most people listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And you sound great.
That's nice. And so I think it would make sense from someone's perspective that things were quiet, you know, especially because it had been so chaotic the previous episode. You know, the only thing, you know, I wondered if, you know, you never want to be the first person that Jeff asks a question to at tribal council. And I was like, and I felt like there were a few times when you know, Jeff kind of was like, Sophie, like,
yeah.
Did you feel in danger at all? I mean, obviously we only see a very edited slice, but I kept on hoping like play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we haven't talked a lot about Sophie, who gets voted out here in this episode.
Totally quiet episode for her. She only has one confessional where she's like, I have an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a quiet night for Sophie. She comments at the end of the episode. She's like, oh, you know, I thought I was a lower tier winner and I thought I could held my own. And Sophie did great this season.
Yeah, great, really reputation burnishing episode for her. I think it really shows people the kind of smart strategic game she plays, and hopefully, you know, is retroactively makes people, you know, think higher of her fantastic win in South Pacific, which we've always, you know, been somewhat bullish on.
Yeah, she was able to really, you know, a couple times, like really assert her will on the game. That last tribal council where she ends up saying to like, hey, my group, just come over here. She ends up that was really her move to take out Wendell at the merge and really sort of like, set the direction for her side to start to get rid of the pieces that could help the, you know, Jeremy, Kim, Denise side of things. She gets, you know, takes another one of their allies out with Tyson, but ultimately the call was coming from inside the house in terms of who was going to do get Sophie in this game in Tony.
And I don't think this was one she could know about. You know, I mean, it would be a very difficult blindside to prevent because it was so last minute, because it was people that she wasn't working with already, right? You know, it wasn't like there was no opportunity for people who she knew and, you know, she had relationships with. But, you know, she also, like, you know, formed a lot of strong relationships that ended up allowing her to exert that influence. You know, we saw very early Kim, like, shared the idol with her. She and Sarah had a tight bond, you know. So I think, you know, her game has always been, and she even had a confessional to this point, a tribal council question to this point. It's like maybe not being in every conversation, but kind of being able to be in a few crucial conversations, right? Mm-hmm. And that sort of, we've seen that play out. And it seemed to be serving her very well.
Yeah. So I hope that Sophie takes a lot of pride in her game here in Survivor Winners at War. She did a great job. She really seemed stunned at the tribal council in terms of like that. Wait, I don't know what to do. I've never been voted out. What is this? She was upset.
Well, I mean, you know, when she still make him come back, she's an incredible challenge competitor. And I do think you have to put her as one of the top, you know, potential people coming, you know, in the returnee challenge. Although, of course, obviously she's at a disadvantage since, you know, these guys have had however many months to be looking for their fire tokens and winning advantages. But you know, I think that, yeah, she played a fantastic game. And like, if she doesn't win, you know, like short of winning, she got the best possible survivor journey out of this. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, fantastic strategic player, you know, really reputation burnishing, but I still think that she actually could be a very, a real competitor to come back.
Yeah. What is going on with all the fire tokens on the Edge of Extinction? That, you know, Parvati got 4 from Michelle. Now, I don't know if Parvati and Natalie are splitting 3 each. Does Parvati have 7 fire tokens? Like, she bought peanut butter. So that, is that 6? Like, what is going on with, like, okay, it's great. We have this survivor economy. Maybe I guess chalk this up as my one question with the episode. What are they doing with the fire tokens?
Sure. I mean, once you reach a certain level of fire token wealth, then you start to invest, right? So you start to invest in some challenges. And if people win those challenges, yeah, then this starts to, but then the problem is, you know, if the whole survivor fire token economy collapses, like, you know, you're really in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're going to take your questions here tonight. Before we get to that, let me thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Steven. I haven't had the chance to talk to you about this, but we have a sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can help. And a lot of times people need help. People need people that they can talk to when they're going through a traumatic time. Like whenever I break out my Survivor All-Stars DVD, I think I certainly could reach out to somebody that I wish I could talk to improve my mental health after revisiting that. But so many of us right now are stuck at home, feeling isolated, worried about the state of things. With BetterHelp, you can talk to a licensed online therapist and find relief belief. Tyson talked about this on The Edge of Extinction. He said that some people are going to need somebody to talk to. BetterHelp therapists specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, insomnia, family conflicts, and more. You can connect with your counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential. Just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched up with a counselor you love in less than 24 hours. And you can secure video or phone sessions with your therapist and exchange unlimited messages. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you could request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You can get the professional help when you want, wherever you are. And it's truly an affordable option, BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Great service for people right now. All right, Steven.
I'm a huge fan of therapy, and really, I feel like everyone. It's great. It really is the best. Like, even if you don't feel like you're, dealing with any specific issues, just being able to like talk to someone, even just about yourself, and not have to like pay any attention to what they say. Well, sort of like what I have with you. I talk about my things, and I kind of tune out yours. But you know, in terms of therapy, it's even if you don't necessarily feel like you're struggling with something, and certainly if you are struggling, it's an incredible resource. But you know, it's great. It's awesome. I mean, just like being able to just work through things with like a smart, qualified person who can kind of give you perspective and insight about your life. But I just like it because like, you get to like talk and like not like have to pretend to care.
Yeah. BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Okay. Let's take some of your questions here tonight. Why don't we start with James Hayden starts off strong. Is Tony's 4-3-2 move the best move in Survivor history? It's not even Tony's best move.
I hate to be hyperbolic, but this is the best move in any game in the history of human civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of all games ever. And actually maybe the best thing that's ever happened in civilization.
It's incredible. It's the best move of this game. Tony's best move was convincing Wu to take him to the final two instead of Cass. This is a very, very good move.
It's a great move. It's super fun. Great television. I mean, you know, Rob Cesternino here is skeptical, thinks that there might be long lasting repercussions, could blow up in Tony's face. I hate to be results oriented, but I do think we need to see some of the fallout before we can say it was like a perfect move.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you trying to twist my words?
No, I thought that was your words. You thought it might really alienate him from Sarah. I was trying to restate your words.
I don't think that Sarah's going to forgive him, but I don't mean necessarily that it's going to not work out for him. I think it might. I don't think that him and Sarah are going to get back on the same page.
But wouldn't that make it a worse move if he like ruined a relationship with his best ally?
I mean, I don't know. If this is the new alliance, if this is the new four, did he need Sarah?
No, I guess not.
Yeah. I mean, now if he sends Sarah to the edge and now she's like, if I ever see Tony again, you know, it doesn't seem like, at least that way from social media, that she's like totally out on Tony. But it does. You wonder, like, could she be super salty with him on the jury?
Yeah.
You know.
OK, so I thought you were saying that maybe that was a ding against the quality of the move, was the fact that it might blow up. Mm-hmm. With Sarah next week.
Yeah.
But I definitely think
that's a possibility, but you said that, and I guess we'll have to wait to see how it plays out in terms of how you feel about it.
I said that I think that he will. I said, I think that he and Sarah will be able to move past it. Yeah. I mean, I do think that this is the danger of a move like this, is that it does blow up in your face because you do piss off the people, or not even just pissing off the people who you're in an alliance with. The very fact of breaking open an alliance that is protecting you, I think, is dangerous, you know? Yeah. And again, like, Tony is always the exception to this rule. I tried to do something like this in Cambodia, and it blew up in my face when I like tried to bring together the witches coven with me, Jeremy and Spencer. By doing that, I destroyed the alliance structure that actually was serving me, and I ended up getting voted out shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the risks. It's not just angering people, it's like changing a game state that is really serving your long-term advantage as well.
Yeah. And what I think is that I think that Tony will try to patch things up with Sarah. I don't think that Sarah can ever trust Tony again. Maybe she'll say, all right, it's good. But in the back of her mind is working against Tony from here on out. I can't imagine the scenario where Sarah can trust Tony and wants to work with him going forward. But even though she may, for a vote or two, go along while she's plotting his demise.
And I actually, like, you know, the more I think about it, it really has seemed like they're building a storyline of Sarah and Tony kind of like blowing up, because we certainly had that last episode, right, where they were feuding. Then with Sarah's fashion show, you know, they kind of like had like, you know, Tony wasn't having it. And then Sarah was like, he doesn't get it. Like, I need to play my social game. He's off like doing his idol thing. But like, this is a social game. I need to play this. So maybe you're right. Like, maybe this is the big split between Tony and Sarah. I mean, there does seem to be a real story arc kind of leading in that direction. Yeah. So I'm open to it, Rob. You've convinced me.
Okay. Let's take another question, Stephen. What does Marcus have to say?
All right. Marcus Risen wants to know, would you say that waiting until the last minute to tell his plan was a game-changing play by Tony? In theory, it makes sense since there's less time to scramble, or was it just a rare time where this sort of plan actually works?
Yeah, we've talked about this before, where the last minute play is, a very powerful one. And what I think Tony realized was that this is better than at Tribal Council, because I can actually, you know, be able to do it without everybody seeing it. And this is better than, you know, with a lot of time left on the clock, where Jeremy can go and like cross examine people, and then the whole thing could explode. So I think that Tony really nailed down the timing. Maybe the most impressive part of this was that he just like waited to make this surgical strike.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the patience really is, I totally agree with you. He had this great idea for a game plan and then put it in play at the last second. And I also think on these seasons where, you know, they were talking about this in the last few episodes, but I think this has been true in recent seasons where there's no like long, it's like switches every couple of minutes who the target is. And so you want to be the last person to mention the last target. And the way to do that is to wait until right before Tribal Council.
Okay. Let's take this question from John Barber, patron of podcast art. Are there any more doubts that Nick and Michelle are continuing to work with one another, despite the edit not necessarily showing us that? I imagine that's the way this goes off without a hitch. I guess so. I mean, it seems like that Nick and Michelle have not had any sort of a rift, but like they're on opposite alliances again, unless Michelle is a double agent again, which I think that the edit has like demonstrated that she's not. It seems like that they've gone their own separate ways and somehow through nothing to do with them have ended up back in this, foursome.
Yeah, I mean, we even saw Tony say to Jeremy that he has to pitch it to Michelle. And then Michelle had a comment at Tribal Council, right, where she was like, someone told me the plan at the last minute, and that's the plan I'm going with. So I think the narrative we saw kind of reinforces this idea that this was a move that came Tony to Nick and then Tony to Jeremy to Michelle, but it was not Nick and Michelle and maybe, coordinating.
Yeah, Nick is like, oh, this plan is great because I'm good with Michelle, and maybe that's the case, but it doesn't seem like, that we can imagine things, but going off of what we've seen on the television show, that there's not evidence to support that.
All right. Matthew Muccia wants to know, is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Is Ben playing a good social game? He seems to be in good with certain people, but really isolates others and rubs them the wrong way, like Adam and Jeremy. Can he win with a social game like that?
He did once.
Well, but Ben bombed his way to the end, right? Like he didn't necessarily do it based on social politics.
I think that what we've seen with Ben is that Ben is a really fun guy and is very fun to be around. But if Ben isn't really having it with you, he's not really too great with like faking it with you, where we've seen with, with Adam, seems like that there's friction with Jeremy going back into his original season. This happened with Chrissy. He was able to be a double agent with Chrissy and Ryan at that point in time. So I think that he can be you know, deceptive when he wants to be. But I think that if he's not really feeling it, sometimes I think he can be a little salty with people.
Yeah. But I still think he's playing like a decent social game, you know, until tonight he was in the majority alliance. I loved at tribal council when Jeremy was just glaring at him, just like those looks that Jeremy was giving him. Yeah. It was so great.
Yeah. Like, that's a rivalry. I'm surprised isn't on Twitter. Jeremy versus Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
Umberto wants to know, that was such a good move. I get why Michelle and Jeremy do it. They only have each other. I get why Tony did it. Now Sarah is only his. But why does Nick do it? I agree. This is the big question, because Nick has much less benefit and much more to lose. We talked about this a little bit before, but do you have any other ideas, Rob?
I just think he gets closer to the end. I think that he's potentially now, for the first time, like in a group that could be controlling things. And while he was in a five, now he's in a four. You know, it's seemingly like a step in the right direction. And now he looks like he's clearly in Tony's final three.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nick was such a fun player for this because he has, you know, he's done some bouncing in his time. You know, he's bounced back and forth between alliances. You know, I feel like Nick's history plays into this too. You know, and I'm sure Nick watched Tony and probably emulated his game partially on Tony's game. And so, yeah, to eliminate Sophie, who Nick doesn't have a relationship with, is really strong. I think keeping Jeremy in the game is good for Nick in the same way that Jeremy is always going to be a big target. You know, like Nick as a hyena wants other hyenas gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that he feels like, okay, great. I'll ride this Tony train for as long as I can, but I'll actually vote out Tony.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so too. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tubby Lunchbox, a longtime commentator on Survivor things. Do you think that Natalie and Parvati split the fire tokens? They each have three. They could each buy an idol or three advantages in the return challenge. Seems likely.
Yeah. I really did enjoy that scene of them where they were kind of like trying to figure out the clue, and then they like figured out that it was under the shelter. You know, they had this sort of partnership where Parvati led everybody off to go appreciate the sunset while Natalie searched for it. I thought that was a really fun dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Henry wants to ask, why didn't Tony just target Ben to appease Jeremy?
Well, for the reasons we saw. Mm-hmm. Tony wanted to isolate Officer Sarah, give her fewer options by eliminating Sophie, who seemed to be a good ally of hers. It seems like Tony and Ben might have a better relationship than maybe Tony and Sophie did. I mean,
yeah.
So little, like, that's speculation.
I don't know if this came up as a thing, but both Tony and Jeremy were people that were concerned about the idea of a women's alliance in both Second Chances and in Survivor Kagiyan. And I wonder if maybe that was also an important thing that they were thinking about, that if we, you know, let us be outnumbered by the women, that could potentially be, we could be on the outs, especially when in that immunity challenge that the final four people, was it all men? It was Sophie and the four men left in that immunity challenge.
I think Sophie was the fourth, right? It was like Jeremy,
and then Nick, ben, Nick went Tony, out, and then Sophie. Yeah.
And Sophie was fourth, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder if maybe if that was a factor also where, okay, we could get Ben next, Jeremy, but you trust me, we got to get rid of Sophie first. Okay. How about this question from Charlie?
Charlie wants to know, would Steven have had severe gastrointestinal distress if Jeremy had looked at him like
come
that?
Come on. Come on, Charlie.
No.
No. No. That's not what does it, okay? What about Tess? Thoughts on the extortion twist? I thought it doesn't bode well for that it basically didn't have effect on the actual gameplay, or does it make it a good twist? I thought it was very fun. What about as in terms of a twist in the game? Did you like it? This was a new advantage.
My immediate reaction was like, this is kind of crappy. Like, it's gone from people who have been voted out helping people in the game to people who have been voted out harming people in the game.
Yeah, this was little bit of like the Jamal pulling the wrong rope last season.
Yeah, there's an element too where, I mean, to a certain degree, you have to be like, well, this is just what Survivor is now, right? And within that context, I think it's fun, right? For people to be able to get revenge on the people who have voted them out or put them into comedically, you know, negative situations. And in some ways, this is maybe even less disruptive than giving someone like a superpower, because it's something that if they're able to work against it, like basically negates itself, right? But it doesn't give them like some like magical power that they can pull out of the bag.
So I think ultimately it was no harm, no foul. It was so fun to have it be Tony. He ends up having to spend all of his fire tokens and borrow from people. But then I'm assuming that he paid back people, which two people, we don't know. Do you imagine that Tony paid people back?
I would think so, right? That's got to, if I'm one of his creditors, I'm like, all right, you know, now I can see you got the money.
You got your two fire tokens.
My audit of being at this challenge with you indicates that you now have that money.
Yeah. It would be great if he didn't. He started with three, could end up with two after this. He won immunity. Maybe did it push him to win the immunity because he had to get the fire tokens a little bit more. So I thought that was really, really great. I love the whole thing. I don't have a problem with this. It could have been disastrous, but this was very fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun. I agree with you. I agree. Like my gut was like, this is a little bit too much. It was funny too to see, but then like you're like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, why is this any worse than like someone getting like an idol or someone getting a steal vote from Edge of Extinction? Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, it's like I would rather this than have my vote stolen like last minute.
And Stephen, what I liked about this a lot was for the first time we had to see survivors pool tokens together. And this was sort of like one of the things that we envisioned about the fire token idea when we first heard about it. Like, oh, what if there's an idol? What if there's an immunity necklace? That's five fire tokens. Well, I've got two. You've got two. I need one from you. Would you throw in your idol or throw in your fire token so we can buy the idol today? So I love the idea of survivors cooperating and pooling fire tokens together to be able to accomplish different things in the game.
Yeah, I sort of wish it had happened organically where they were like, oh, what if we pooled things and then we could do X, Y, or Z? But, you know, they got a nudge and maybe it'll happen from now.
Okay, we'll see. All right, Stephen, how about this question? This is from Marietta.
All right, Marietta wants to know, did you guys think the end of that immunity challenge was weird? Tony didn't seem like he wanted to win and Jeremy looked almost like he dropped on purpose.
Do you think that that at the end that Jeremy might have not wanted? Jeremy certainly wants immunity. So
my gut is that everyone threw it. Everyone but Tony. And in fact, Tony probably wanted to throw it, too. He just couldn't get off fast enough. Everyone in every challenge is always throwing it, is my understanding of how these things work.
So Jeremy clearly wants to have immunity in that spot, especially after the incident from the previous tribal council. So I can't imagine that. He didn't want the immunity necklace. I did think it was funny though when Tony has won his second in a row, and then I forget what it was that Jeff said about him about how it was
he's like on
yeah,
top or
like
something.
Tony. Oh, Tony! Like, no, he said Tony dominating again. Jeff, don't say that. Yeah,
so. I did think no, but I'm being sarcastic, but. I did think that when Jeremy it looked like he just like stepped right off, you know, it did sort of like, wait, did you just quit? Like, it kind of looked like he just quit. My guess is if anything that he was waiting until Ben dropped, but like, didn't think he had any more in the tank after that. I mean, listen, just from personal experience, I know that Jeremy is not someone who is capable of throwing a challenge, even when it makes a ton of sense. So in this case where it would have made no sense, I do not think he threw it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a question from Mindy. Tony and Nick's relationship was a common thread throughout the episode. Any predictions on where it goes from here?
Up, up, up. Romance, love.
I mean, I can't see the scenario where Tony wants to get rid of Nick.
Yeah, I think it is a great. The only problem is like, do the people who got blindsided take out their ire on Nick? You know, like maybe Sarah feels like she has too good a bond with Tony, but like she's like, I don't need Nick in my life.
At this point, after the run that Tony's been on the last couple of weeks, not to mention that, and they don't even know he has an idol, that they have to start to feel like, okay, this is. Frickin' Tony Vlachos. Now he's on fire. We have to take him out. Who wants to sit at the end with him? This is now he's become like his threat level is now midnight.
Do you think that this encourages him to keep Jeremy in the game now? Because Tony was, you know, an early Meat Shield proponent. You know, I saw there was some debate on Twitter between them, like who originated the Meat Shield strategy. I mean, you got to go back to like, and probably before Todd Herzog, right? Like Todd Herzog was like keeping Aaron in the game as a way of like, as in, you know, for his Meat Shields. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are people who did it before that. Mm-hmm. But Tony is definitely a user of that strategy. You know, that's why he kept Spencer around, right? Until the Final Fours. He wanted like someone who would absorb the votes at that point. Do you think that just Tony's like spiking threat encourages him to keep Jeremy, or do you think it's likely that he will now flip on Jeremy?
I think that he would be incentivized to keep Jeremy around. I mean, I don't know how many people are dying to work with him. If Jeremy, that Jeremy and him have sort of like a, have like a reciprocational or a relationship where it benefits both of them, where I don't think there's that many of the people that are like, hey, I want to keep working with Tony.
I didn't get why that's why I didn't get why he tried to vote him out last week. I mean, that didn't make sense to me then, like why Tony wouldn't be with that group.
Well, that was one of the many things last week of Tony was like, Lions, Lions, Lions. And then all of a sudden it was like, he won immunity. And he's like, OK, well, now I got to vote out either, you know, Tyson or got to vote out Jeremy.
The one thing I will say, though, is like it's at the final. What is it? It's nine now. And this was nine. You know, it's going to be eight. You know, at a certain point, you do start to, and, you know, they only can vote until four. Right. At a certain point, you do need to start taking out the people who are going to beat you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point with Tony, there's a good number of those people. Right. I mean, he thinks he'll lose against Jeremy. Maybe he thought he would lose against Tyson. We don't know what he thinks about Kim. You know, I mean, maybe he felt the way about Sophie, like where, you know, you only have. Now he only has four votes. And so you've got to get written. People are going to win immunities. People are going to play idols. So and he's always someone who likes to strike before he's struck. So I do think there's like some rationality to him, you know, at this point in the game, final nine, final eight, being like, okay, now is the time to start getting rid of these other lines.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions here tonight with the great Stephen Fishback. Edgar says, how badly did Tony mess up his game considering there's no Trish this time to help him mend fences? Now, he really could use a Trish to help him win back Sarah. Is it possible that somebody that voted with Tony, could a Nick be the Trish?
I'm bullish on Sarah possibly being that person. But, you know, but then again, like what's the fence, you know, what's the fence he has to mend other than the specifically the one with Sarah? I mean, Ben, I guess, Sophie's gone.
Yeah.
You know, Kim and Denise, like that's not a fence. If anything, like this went towards mending some fences with them, you know, voting out Sophie instead of them. So I actually don't think this is a terrible, it's really just Sarah and maybe Ben. So it's not that same situation where he had this whole alliance that was then mad at him.
Just to go back to the Sarah and Tony thing one more time. If they get back together, who's their next target? Hey, let's join forces. Then let's get back together because we got to vote out. It's Denise and Kim. We got to vote. Okay, so they vote out. Say they vote out Kim next week. Isn't then Tony just going to swing back and then vote out Sarah the vote after that? But now that.
That's the Trish move, right? He's got to vote. He's got to put Sarah on the jury like he put Trish on the jury. You know, I think that's what he probably would do, right? It's like if it's the same, if it's a similar trajectory, it would be a swing. You know, maybe if I'm Sarah, I'm like, you have to vote out Jeremy now. Like, we're not like, you know, this is your buddy. Like, that's your pocket ally. You know, we got to get, I want him out of this game. And like, that's the deal. But then you're right. Like, then the danger is like, he's just going to come right back at you.
Yeah. So. I feel like that's going to be the interesting thing to watch next week. Sarah and Tony, how does it either come back together or explode?
Do you think if Sarah does not hold him accountable and vote him out, that she is making a mistake because she knows that it'll blow up in her face eventually?
I think she needs to go to the Natalie Anderson playbook of, okay, Tony, I get it. Right. I understand. Yeah, I understand things happen. And then to vote Tony out.
Yeah, I kind of concur. I think that you're right. Like, I think that if you're Sarah, your game is going to be, especially now that Tony has this huge resume point. If you're Sarah, you know that your game cannot be with Tony. It has to be through Tony to a certain degree. And she's just blindsided. And he, who's like supposedly your best ally, has just blindsided you. I think you're right. I think it makes sense to do it sooner rather than later. The only question is, like, maybe she, like, if I'm Sarah in this situation, I'm mad at Tony, but I also feel like, oh crap, who are my allies now? Like, I voted with one other person who's left in this game. I mean, she voted with Denise and Kim too, but like, they're not my allies. Like, they've been against me. Mm-hmm. Now Nick and Tony are against me. I know Jeremy and Michelle are my allies. She has nothing. Like, she's got
Ben. She has Ben. And I think there's a framework with Kim and Denise. So that I think if she can, if she can patch things up, and her and she and Kim, I think they were working together at Original Decal. I think that there is some past history there. Denise is, you know, easygoing enough. I think that she, Denise and Sarah, by the way, are from like the same hometown. So that would be another easy one to get back together. And so if that four could somehow pick up one of them, Michelle, is it possible? Nick, could he come back? I do think that there are ways, but the other thing is that Tony has an idol now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, such a fun episode, by the way, for Kim. I want to talk about that as well. I thought this was like, you know, I've been bemoaning the lack of Kim in the episodes until this point. She's one of my favorite players. I think she's a lot of people's favorite player. We haven't seen that much of a strategy. We saw sort of like last week, we saw a little bit of like a kind of late game rallying of the forces, which was quickly blew up. This episode, I thought it was great. You know, like, she like knows Tony's lying to her face. We see her make a pragmatic decision with Denise. I just thought it was such a fun episode for Kim, who was a smaller bit player in this sort of Tony drama, but a fun one.
Okay. All right. John Densford, did Tony and Nick flip because Kim and Denise flip? If they saw Sophie, Sarah, Kim, and Denise coming together, flipping makes perfect sense. Okay. So did Kim and Denise trigger this?
I think that's you know, very possible. Like Rob was just saying, and maybe, you know, we know that he has in the past been worried about a women's alliance, and maybe you're right. Like, maybe Tony looks at who he's voting with and is like, maybe I'm next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that they're voting with them, those aren't numbers for me. So that's entirely possible as well. Good call by John. Jonah Dwyer. Is Stephen Fishbeck's debt now owed to Tony?
Yeah, I've lost track of where my debt is. My God, like, but really, Tony owes it to Nick. So maybe it's to Nick, who's technically my survivor child. So like, maybe he owes me the debt of life. So maybe I'm owed my debt to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. AJ, what's it? Does Jeremy still have a good shot at winning? We haven't talked about this from Jeremy's perspective. And this
I wanted to.
And it sort of got lost in the shuffle that this was a big Jeremy episode too. We got to see all of the events that opened the episode from Jeremy's POV. And it was Jeremy sort of like telling the story of what it was like for him to see person by person by person come back from tribal. And this was a great episode for sort of like these first person telling of the events that were going on.
Yeah, I agree. It was like, I loved that. I thought it was, I think that's a super fun way to, like, you know, for Survivor to narrate, because ultimately it is all just like personal stories, and, you know, to get it from really from one person's perspective really just like communicated so much. I mean, the thing that we saw so much was that everyone's like, oh yeah, we can't have Jeremy at the end. Like, every, you know, even Tony's, when he was talking about infiltrating, you know, and being a spy with the other team, it was like, well, obviously I can't have Jeremy at the end. Like, that's not my real alliance. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got the sense that this was a one and done thing. Like, I mean, I never understood why people would want to take Jeremy to the end in Survivor, but apparently people do. Or at least let him last long enough where he just needs to win out a little bit. And like, hopefully that happens, right? Hopefully that happens. It does seem like everyone acknowledges that he is the biggest threat and like needs to be removed immediately. So I think it will be a difficult road for him.
Yeah. I did like Ben pushing back against Jeremy, where Jeremy's like, hey, we're the big threats. He's like, no, you are. He's like, what?
Yeah, I love
that.
Jeremy's like, and yeah, that was great.
What? And, me?
I'm not as big a threat as you.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how like every vote has been in some way direct, like since the merge has been in some way directed at Jeremy, right? Like the Wendell vote was because he was Jeremy's friend. Obviously the vote last week was because it was Jeremy. And then it was against Jeremy's alliance. This week also was supposed to be Jeremy. I mean, when you have that much heat on you, it is really hard to avoid it.
Yeah. I do feel like that the missed opportunity for that side was that at the Adam vote, when Adam was rounding up the troops to say, hey, let's vote out Sarah. It seemed like that the Jeremy, Kim, Tyson side said, boy, If people are listening to what Denise brought it to them, said, hey, should we vote out Sarah? And Kim and Tyson, and I think Jeremy must have been like, hey, well, no, we got to that. Adam's the threat. We got to worry about Adam. I think they needed to work with that, what Adam was putting together to be able to get the jump on. What I think with the loved ones visit coming up, I wonder if that bigger group was sort of like trying to say, hey, let's hold this together so we can get to our loved ones visit.
But there's no way they knew that it was at the final.
No, but I'm wondering, that group was eight. I'm wondering if they're like, okay, this is the eight. Let's just, keep this together to the loved ones visit. Yeah. I wonder how many people were sitting back waiting for loved ones to happen.
That's interesting. That is interesting. And yeah, you're right. Yeah. Adam was the Cassandra of the season, just the prophet who no one believed.
Oh, I thought you meant from Survivor Fiji in the hub of everything. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and the RHAP Networks. Rob and Akiva need a podcast this weekend. Family Feud is coming up. Not for 4 days, but be on the lookout for Akiva versus Rob.
Is that going to be as good as the wine and cheese versus like Dirty 30?
Oh, it would be hard to be better. It would be hard to be hard to be better. RuPaul's Drag Race is back with the latest wrap up. Of course, Bryce on the Purple Pants podcast, that he's back with his latest podcast. He had an issue or an interview with one of the people from McMillions. Did you watch that, Steven?
No.
Okay. All right. Check that out.
That sounds great, though.
Yeah. If you're a McMillions fan, check out Bryce's interview. The Challenge Total Madness. Are you enjoying Challenge Total Madness?
I haven't watched the season. I'm really excited. As you know, I'm a huge Challenge fan. I used to watch it at the gym, and I haven't been to the gym in 2 months. So I haven't been able to.
Does that get you like extra pumped when you're watching the Challenge, the gym?
It is. It's like, it really is. It's like, you know, you see these people like doing backflips, jumping off of a helicopter, like diving into under the water. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on the elliptical. I'm killing it on the elliptical.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to be on the Challenge podcast and finally figure out who Ali Lasher is.
Okay. One of these days, the Bachelor, listen to your heart. Amy and Haley have a rehap up there. And then Too Hot to Handle. Have you watched that on Netflix? Even that's right up your alley. That's right.
We were bored and we were just like, what is this thing? And we watched it. It's a really great, Stranded, I think, is like probably the best reality show of all time. And this sort of has a similar premise of like, if you do naughty things, like money
very
is
naughty,
be
yeah.
lost.
So yeah, check out Kirsten McInnes. She has her episode 3 and 4 recap. I believe Puya and Ali Lasher are her guests on that. I haven't finished episode 4, so I could listen to the recap. She'll have one more episode 5 and 6 recap, and then I'll be back on Friday with that group, with the panel and Kirsten to talk about the finale on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Then Rick Devens has been a ongoing series talking about esports. He wanted to learn about esports, so he's doing a podcast series. He talked to Loco Doco about it.
Wow, that's cool. I love esports.
Yeah. Okay, so check that out. Of course,
I've been playing Fortnite with Cochran. It's so fun.
So fun.
It's so fun. Mm-hmm. I'm so bad at it. Mm-hmm. Like I will just like spin in circles like while people shoot at me, but it's just like unbelievably fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fortnite with Cochran. What is that? It's Cochran good at Fortnite?
Much better than me.
Yeah. Okay. News AF, Danny Tyson and myself talked about how families are bragging about how close they've become during the time of quarantine. Not families that I know, but apparently according to research, so who knew? Check out Shannon Gus talked with Dirty Harry in her latest deep dive from Australian Survivor All-Stars. Check that out. Wow. Matt LaGoria's power rankings as well with Gavin and Victoria. I talked with Shane Powers last night, Stephen. Talked about an hour and 40 minutes with Shane Powers. He's been following this season very closely. He wanted to talk about it. I thought he had a lot of really interesting things to say.
He's a smart guy.
He's come around. He's come come around on Sora. And then, of course, we saw him back in February.
Yeah, he was our hero at the 10-year.
Yes, I really think that even though we talked about it, talked about Survivor coming into this episode, that we really didn't do a lot of like deep strategy of what's going to happen next for these people. He talked about each person that was in the game and what he's thinking about them and how he overall looks at the game. I thought he had some really fun things to say.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah, Shane Powers, check that out up on the Robin's podcast feed. Taryn will be back tomorrow with a recap here. I'll update the Legacy Watch as well. And then on the Survivor B&B, Aaron Jackson, Stephen, one of your favorites, will be back to talk about everything with Mike and Liana.
That's great.
Hey, Rick Devins will join me on Thursday for our recap as well. And then find out why Sophie lost with David and Jessica. They'll get into everything. What Sophie could have done. What Sophie could have won differently. And then over on the Survivor Global.
One of my favorites.
Tess.
She's great.
Okay. Check that out with Shannon Goss. And then Aris will be our guest on the feedback show. We're talking to Aris on Friday. So get your feedback questions in. And Antonio Mazzaro will be our guest on This Week in Survivor. And then, of course, Josh Wiggler and The Wiggle Room. So clear your schedule, Stephen. We got a lot of podcasts coming your way.
I got one thing I need to plug as well, which is that my friend and yours, Eliza Orleans, is, as you know, running for Manhattan DA.
Yes.
And regardless of what you think of Eliza, and you got to think she will be an amazing DA. She is like 100% go all the time. She's so passionate about it, has been so passionate about her work, helping people through her legal skills, through legal aid. And now she's running so she's got this fundraiser coming up next Wednesday, a week from today. If you go to go.elizaorleans.com/survivor, you can give to her or join this fundraiser. It's going to be like 40 plus Survivor contestants there. It's some like digital meet and greet. I don't totally understand how it works, but it sounds really fun and exciting. I think I really, really think that Eliza like would just be an amazing DA. She's just works so hard and is so passionate about the work.
Yeah. She reached out to me a couple of weeks ago, asked me, hey, I'd love to come on the podcast and talk about what I'm doing. So you could check out that interview as well.
Yeah. I know. And again, like I know she's a controversial figure in the Survivor world and that some people are not big fans, but like, you know, apart from
what,
and that's because she's so intense and like that intensity, like directed towards, you know, goodness, like imagine it.
Yeah.
And not just interrupting the live know-it-alls.
Yeah. All right. Let me just update you guys as well on everything that we've been doing this month. Of course, it was 3 weeks ago tonight, shockingly, that I said, hey, the month of April, I want to donate the money that we get from our new patrons. You come on board, you become a new patron. We're going to take that money that you contribute for the month of April, and we're going to be donating to the direct relief.org charity, and I will make a matching contribution. And so through tonight, coming into tonight's action, Stephen, we have passed over $4,000 in contributions, which now I am having to match. So
wow. This has like jumped up a bunch in the last week.
It's continued. People are still getting in, while we're doing the matching. So $4,000 from the patrons, a matching $4,000 coming from me to direct relief. And then on top of that, we have a GoFundMe, Stephen, which is robinswebsite.com/PPE charity. That GoFundMe, is at $8,685. So a grand total right now of over $16,000 raised for directrelief.org here in the month of April. And so The GoFundMe is linked directly to directrelief.org. That money is going to be deducted from the GoFundMe at the start of the month. So that's how that works when you go directly through the GoFundMe. So really incredible, the support from our new patrons, our existing patrons. And I hope that people have been enjoying all of the patron content that we've been putting out there in the month of April. So it's been a really incredible month.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing, dude.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's wild that I had no idea that, you know, when we said this 3 weeks ago tonight, this is where it would get to. But yeah, over $16,000 raised for directrelief.org. Okay. Steven, there we go. So anything else you want to say tonight? Do you have a fishy? Who got the fishy tonight?
Well, it goes to Tony.
Tony.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I thought this was a good performance by him.
Great job.
Anything we didn't talk about? I mean, like, he just was
sure.
You want to do the brief summary of everything Tony did? It was like he, you know, became a spy, found the idol, got the extortion advantage.
If if you played Tony tonight in the FanDuel Survivor game, pretty sure you got about 70 points tonight.
I'm in this this big Survivor pool, and it's like points are awarded every night. And like basically the only person who no one took was Tony. Like he's the only person no one took. And boy, like what a dearth of points, you know, that could be racked up right now.
Yeah, incredible. So many moments. Thank you, Entertainment 720. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. Bye.